I serve the risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he has lived through all the storms.
Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd, with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, came up to Jesus at once, and he said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him, and Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up, and they laid hands on Jesus, and they seized him. And behold, one of those who was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword.
Streets in chains. was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priest elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather the tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers mocked Jesus. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my head, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead, say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, mock my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one. 'Cause I'll come again. There's no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll come again. There's no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Come to take my people back. Come to take my people back.
Went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, sat down over his head. They put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. I derided him, destroyed the temple, and rebuilt it in 3 days. You are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Trust in God. Let God deliver him now if he deserves him, desires him." For he said, "I am the Son of God." And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, when they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Those who were with him were keeping watch over what took place. They were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God."
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified me?
Thank you.
How sweet the sound, amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree.
When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.
It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood took my place in redeeming sacrifice and washes me whiter than the snow. My Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood took my place in redeeming sacrifice and washes me
whiter than the snow. My Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. Yes, my Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. Oh, my Jesus, God's precious sacrifice.
Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation we believe. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let His love invade. Let the church live loud and our God will say, "We believe, we believe." Let the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back, He's coming back again.
There. Happy Easter. Quickly, a hand for this wonderful. Thank you so much for the work that you guys all put in. And I know some of you sitting out there also, you guys just do such a fantastic job. It just blesses me, and I'm sure blesses everybody else that comes. You guys have just done a fantastic job with all of this. I couldn't be more blessed. I'm going to just wrap things up here with more scripture reading. And what I want to impress upon you as you leave today is the importance of the resurrection. We all know that there's a driving force that's allowed to kind of run rampant in the world currently, and that would be Satan and his emissaries, and his job is to deny or dilute, and that's what he does. Everything that God establishes, Satan's job is to deny it or dilute it so that we don't think about it or don't care about it anymore. There's this movement authored by Satan, of course, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't important or didn't happen. Both of those things are heresy, absolute heresy. I've actually met Christians before that didn't seem to, they called themselves Christians. It's between them and Jesus if they are or not, but who told me that they really didn't think that the resurrection was important. They didn't really care either way if the resurrection actually happened. And that just, to me, shows a very deep a lack of understanding of what the Scripture says and the importance placed on the resurrection. So that has become the battlefield of the day. You know, we don't celebrate Resurrection Sunday anymore. We celebrate Easter, which, you know, when you study where the word Easter came from, it's all pagan. It's nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. But we study resurrection. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday because it's the resurrection is means everything. You guys are all familiar with Romans 10:9. It's pretty straightforward language by Paul, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that interesting? It's not an option to believe in the resurrection. It's not you can take it or leave it. It's an imperative. It's absolutely imperative. See, if Jesus had led the life that we just studied in Luke, and he had done all the miracles, and he had done everything he had done, and finally at the very end wasn't raised from the dead, it really wouldn't matter what he did before that. It would have all been in vain, and we would all be dead in our sins. The Sanhedrin understood that. The chief priests understood that. They knew what it would mean if Jesus was resurrected. They knew what it would mean if it even looked like Jesus was resurrected. They understood it, which is why they begged Pilate to put guards around the tomb and do whatever possibly. You heard the scripture read this morning, that the first lie would be worse than this, right? Matthew 27:64, so give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first. Satan understands how important the resurrection is. They knew that if Jesus was raised from the dead, they killed their Messiah. Whoops. And that lie, that deception is still being perpetrated today, right? That, well, don't worry, that didn't happen. And I could stand here today and I could tell you how important our Savior's resurrection is to us, but I think God's Word does it best. So I'm going to literally rapid fire for you, because otherwise it would take me a week to read all these scriptures. But I want to rapid fire for you a sample of the importance of Christ's resurrection, which we celebrate today. Luke 24:46, he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Right? So it was foretold. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Why did Jesus call himself the resurrection? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. You ever think about why Jesus said, I am the resurrection? He's calling himself God. I am the resurrection. John 20:9, speaking of the disciples, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Had to. It's an imperative. It's not a, well, I could take it or leave it. It is imperative. Everything hangs on it. Everything. Acts 2:24, we just studied all this, right? But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. It was imperative that Jesus conquered death. Acts 2:29 through 37. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We just studied that, right? The cornerstone of all preaching from the disciples, now apostles, is the resurrection of Christ. It's the cornerstone. Acts 3:14 and 15, you disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Acts 4:10 through 12, then know this, you and all the other people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men, which we must be saved. It's not whatever God you believe in is okay. It's Jesus is the only way, right? Acts 4:33, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Isn't that funny? Scripture records that literally the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how important that was. Acts 5:30, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Acts 10:39 and 40, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. It's literally everywhere. Everywhere. Acts 13:27 through 31, the people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. Acts 13:37, but the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. More prophecy fulfilled. Acts 17:2 and 3. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Acts 17:31, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this, how? To all men, it says. He has given proof to this to all men by what? By raising him from the dead. That is the proof that you sit here not in vain. See, so it's not okay when people go, yeah, but, you know, I just don't believe he was raised from the dead. But I believe everything else. Well, then you believe nothing. Whatever you think you believe, it's in vain. Acts 26, 22, and 23. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. It's the central theme of all the preaching. Romans 1:1-4, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David and through who the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. It's the proof of everything. Shouted out Allegra. Atta girl. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 4:24, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Romans 6:4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In other words, Paul is saying what? We're only able to have eternal life because Jesus was raised from the dead. It's an imperative. It's not a, I could take it or leave it. Romans 6:9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Romans 7:4, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So once again, we can't bear fruit to God unless Jesus was raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit couldn't come because Jesus couldn't send him unless he was raised from the dead. All these things couldn't happen unless Jesus was raised from the dead. It literally, everything hinges on it. Romans 8:11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. It's pivotal to our belief. Ask the next Jehovah's Witness, in case you wanted to know why the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult and they're all going to hell unless we can speak some truth to them. They deny the resurrection. Ask the next Jehovah's Witnesses who knocks on your door, do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? The answer is no. Then read them a few of these scriptures and say, how do you get around that? What's the deal? 1 Corinthians 6:14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. First fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 2 Corinthians 4:14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. I don't know how some of these cults claim to also be Christians and carry around the Bible. They're just counting on the fact that you're not reading it. They have to, because it's literally everywhere. It's everywhere. Like, you could open up your Bible and go, and you're going to find something about the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4:14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Praise Jesus. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Ephesians 1:20, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. How many pages would you have to rip out of your Bible to try to deny the resurrection? 2 Timothy 2:8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, Paul says. Paul literally ends that statement with, this is my gospel. Hebrews 13:20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:21, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. 1 Peter 3:21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see how absurd it is to deny the resurrection? It's literally just absurd. I mean, it becomes, you know, one of those things where Satan's just going, the resurrection didn't happen. And you have to go, okay. Because the Bible says over and over and over again that your faith and your salvation depend on it. This next scripture is written by Paul to the Corinthian church. You guys have heard me read it several times. Paul heard that false witnesses were telling the Corinthians that the resurrection wasn't important. And they also knew that they were hearing from the Sadducees that resurrection was not possible. There was no such thing as resurrection. The Sadducees were preaching that, and Paul knew that that was pretty important. So he said in 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 15, if it is preached that Christ has not been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. Paul said that if Christ was not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Folks, if someone preaches to you a gospel other than the one we preach to you, he's a non-believer. I don't care what he says. That person is a non-believer. Paul told the Galatians in chapter 1, 6 through 9, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. And now a promise and revelation from the Holy Spirit regarding the resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. See, there's a reason why every cult either denies the deity of Christ, which we call denial, and denies the resurrection in one way, it is a way of doing that, or says that Jesus is not the only way, which we call delusion. Just dilute it. Yeah, that Christian thing, that's one of the many, many ways to heaven, but there are many. Don't be fooled by either one of those things. We're going to hear a closing song from these wonderful people, and I'm really excited about that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Let's all stand for the final song and the closing prayer.
My Savior. triumphed o'er his woes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. Then he reigns forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, grave he arose with a mighty triumph of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
Great day. Loves us so much. Planned a salvation for us before we got here. Quite a love and quite a sacrifice. Would be able to share in that. Not have to go through all the stuff we do. Father God, we glorify you. We thank you. Christ paid dearly by Jesus, but we receive. Thank you, Father God, for the day. Folks, have a great Resurrection Sunday.